Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, it's Bubba. Don't forget it's holiday season. And if you don't know what to get for a gift or a stocking stuffer, well, today's sponsor, Manscaped, has all the tools to guarantee you that you win this year's stocking stuffer and or white elephant competition. Manscaped is the leader in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they've served over 4 million men worldwide. That's like 8 million balls, if my math is correct. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with the promo code Bubba. You know, Manscaped's best-selling product should be at the top of every man's wish list for this Christmas, and that's the Performance Package 4.0. Inside of that bad boy performance package, you're going to get the Lawnmower Body Trimmer. As a matter of fact, I shaved my chest and arms and my pubes today with it. It's the best trimmer on the market for your balls, your butt, your body, and the weed whacker for your ears and your nose. You got to keep up on that or you're going to look old, buddy. And let's not forget their famous liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Keeping your balls fresh, fellas, is important. You never know when you're going to get some, I don't know, spur-of-the-moment action on those bad boys. Whether this is for your partner, your dad, your brother, your friend, get them something that they're actually going to use, and you might get a laugh or two out of it as well. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with promo code Bubba. Be the ballsiest gift giver this year with Manscaped. Dan seems calm right now.
But wait, dude, yeah, what the heck happened?
Easy. Easy.
Okay.
Vince Foster gives it 5 subs.
So, just listen.
I'm trying to be calm, but.
So, we're getting ready to start the show. There's these rituals that people don't even we don't even realize that we have these rituals, but we do. And I'm one ritual is that I don't like you guys in here talking a lot. Like, literally 2 minutes before the show, I hate. I hate it because it's something, it's not that I'm feeling left out or that I feel that you're talking about me, but chances are you are. But it, I just feel like, if it's in the studio, it's sacred and people need to hear it. That's why, you know, like, and we're going to lose the spontaneity of something potentially funny if you're pre-talking about something.
Totally understood.
Yeah, so, no pre-talking.
No pre-talking.
No, I always say save it for the show.
I walk in here and Dan is like, somebody is to explain to Dan that he doesn't have the strap, and he's like, well, who's got the strap? And I'm like, let's just save it for the show, Dan. And he's like, okay. He literally can only go about 3 seconds before he has another outburst. So how do I lose the strap? And I didn't even put it in. I'm like, Dan, please, we'll open up the show with the big strap high spot, okay? And he'd be, all right. 3.5-4 seconds. So who's got the strap right now? I'm like, Dan, shut up.
Lummy has it, right?
And then he goes like, Dan's like, Lummy's got it, right? And I'm like, no. Lummy isn't, he gifted like a pussy. Dan, so.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
First of all, how do I lose the bout without screwing up? That's number one. And number two, like, I realized.
You didn't screw up, but
you can still lose a belt without screwing up.
I know, I guess you can.
Not really. I mean, it's pretty much crap. You think about this, a boxer, right. He's got the strap, and then this guy, the commissioner of the boxing league, just comes in. Guy's just at the gym training, and it takes the strap from him, and you're like, I didn't even have a boxing match.
I think we're way more like WWE, where Vince just comes in and gives it to whoever he wants, no matter what.
Yeah. We're not sanctioned by anybody other than myself.
There's no commissions here.
Right.
And you don't even have to do anything good. You just, sometimes it's used as a mind screw.
Yeah. that, or we said there's a new parameter where a person can just go ahead and gift the belt, and nobody ever thought that that would actually be in play.
Because no one with a penis would ever give the belt away.
Right. No, well, first of all, nobody with a brain would give
or
the,
a brain.
And if you had a penis,
well,
and if you had a
that
penis,
explains it.
If you had a penis, then you certainly wouldn't give it to a girl, nonetheless.
Yeah. If you had not a girl.
If you had a, especially, now listen,
yeah, they got
since
cooties.
Lummy is not trying to sleep with Anna,
right.
then there's no what, there's just no reason in the world that he'd ever get that bitch the belt.
Zero.
Now, I could see Lummy be like, I'm going to give the belt to Dan. Because Dan.
Like, saved a life or something.
I got attacked by a shark.
Trying to sleep with Dan.
I got attacked by a shark this weekend and took out half my quad, but Dan sewed it back up on Saturday afternoon. And so I'd like to give it to Dan. Or hi, it's Lummy. I'd like to give the strap over to Blitz because Blitz is my friend. I like Blitz.
So in your contacts, when you say emergency, you can put Anna's number now instead of mine.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So she can sew your ass up
so
next
like
time you get in the face.
I would have gifted it right back to you today.
No, but
not only did he gift it, he saluted me, too.
And you saluted her?
Hold on, yeah, it's
hold
crazy.
On. First of all, how did Lummy get the belt?
Well, so much has happened.
Dan, wait till you hear how Lummy got the belt
like
first.
This one
by
too.
The way, it's the Bob of the Love Sponge Show. Monday, December 13th, 2021. Dan, you know that I'm very maniacal and manipulative. You know that.
I understand that. Right.
So,
you love genius, if you will.
I mean, you know, there's a modern day mad scientist back here with a bigger.
If you had to guess the high spot Lummy might have done to get the belt, what would you say?
Yeah.
I don't know. He read something correctly.
Okay.
Wrong.
Thanks, Dr. Dan.
You can't read. Joke's on you.
Dan, what? Let me see if I can give you an analogy that you might be able to understand. As to why, let me go. And whose phone just
not
went
mine.
Off?
Not mine.
Somebody did.
No, it's mine.
It was scrambling.
No, you can't yell at Blitz.
Well, you can't. See, that's another thing. Blitz just automatically. Like, if that was poor Lummy right now and his phone just went off, he would be getting beat. Blitz is just like, oh, no. I mean, come on, Blitz. We got to start holding you accountable, too, my friend.
Well, he'll shoot us if he gets me.
He will shoot us.
Crickley's getting out of the house.
You can only push a guy so hard.
Ammo's expensive, but I didn't get any ammo for the party.
Hold on. Shut up. Don't get me squirreled. Isn't it bad when you work with a guy that you're really, truly afraid to really lay it out on him because the excuse is he'll shoot me?
Yeah.
I'm like that with the Alabama slammer, too.
Oh, I know. I think everyone thinks that.
And he knows all the rules and laws, so he can work around him just as he sees fit.
Yeah.
I'm like standing my ground.
I'm not crazy. Like, I don't bring my gun out and play with it and crap.
Yeah, but
polish
you always,
it.
But you always have. But like, you always got two on you. You know, I mean, you always have two on you.
Yeah, then
and
you can
and
rule.
You're Johnny
and
Gun
you never
guy.
See him.
Yeah,
I know that even makes you more Johnny Gun guy.
Oh, so
know.
If I took him off and just started waving him around, it'd be okay.
Yeah, then you're Yosemite Sam.
I'm gonna start bringing my AR, just have it around my neck. Just walk around my neck.
Blitz, I gotta tell you, I got an anonymous complaint from from an employee that just says they know you got two guns on you, but when you come in with one around your shoulder, and we're doing
with a bandolier with bullets on it,
it's tough.
I always wanted one of those.
It's tough, buddy. Please. Man, even when I was in high school, if I could just get a C, that's all I was at trying to get. Because if you got a C, then they didn't kick you off the football team. You know, like if you were below a C.
2.0.
Yeah, 2.0 and below, you'd have to go, like, you'd miss a couple games. And so I was, like, just always trying to be.
Not
well,
on teachers, academic probation.
Do the teachers ever kind of, you know, help you out?
Oh, yeah. Back when I was in school, you could become friends with your teachers. And then they just, you know, like I was friends with my boy Bob Turner. And Bob Turner was my environmental science class teacher, but he was also a football coach, and he was like one of the boys.
Oh, yeah, he wanted you to play.
So like, he'd shuffle you a B or A?
No, so I'd get like a I was doing D work, but getting Bs.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Helping that GPA, keeping you at 2.0.
And then Bob Turner would tell me, hey, Clem, what? If I set you alphabetical order, I'd see him. You know, remember football always started before the school did. Remember football always started
summer,
like,
a couple weeks before summer.
But like, you know, the teacher would get their rosters.
Okay, yeah.
And they'd know who was in their class. Well, Bob Turner come up to me my sophomore year and said, hey, I got you an environmental science third period. Oh, cool, coach. He's like, and Jill Bolesky's in there.
Oh.
And if I sit you alphabetical, this is how cool they were. He's like, if I sit you alphabetical order, which it's at that time, it was the teacher's preference in how they sat you.
Right.
They were alphabetical order, boys, girls, like however.
Mm-hmm. They had discretion.
And alphabetical order was certainly probably one of the most used one. He's like, if I seat you alphabetical order, you'll sit right by her. I go, oh, coach, man, please, go alphabetical order, buddy. She's like, okay, I got you.
Wait, because she was hot or because you could cheat off
her? No, but, well, both.
Oh, okay.
But mostly because she was just so hot.
Mm-hmm.
But she let me cheat off of her, too.
Which nice. Is awesome.
Yeah, I had no chance with her. She was like some senior when she was a junior. Like, she dated up. Remember that in high school? Like,
yeah.
You had to date up. Yeah. Now you don't. Now you want to stay away from dating up. As you get older, you want to date down, obviously. Blitz was way down, but I'm just saying. Most of us guys like to be like a good minus 10. That's a solid number, a minus 10.
It depends on the age.
That's what we're talking about.
No,
what
are, I'm
what
saying are you a minus. Listen,
minus
I don't want to be 20 and dating.
Hold on.
Go minus 35.
Hold on. The biggest I've ever been is minus 16. Dan, you're... What is yours?
Yes, Dan, how old am I?
30.
You're minus 30?
19, we'll say.
No, we're not saying nothing.
Yeah, no,
we want to know the truth.
19 years younger.
30? I'm only 19 years younger than you, Dan.
So, yeah, mine's 16. Blitz, what's yours? Like, you know, and that's your specialty, so to speak. Like,
no,
that's
it's not.
Yes,
your specialty,
it is.
What's it, 25?
That's
yeah,
what
you're an expert.
That's what you're into. Like, I mean, how
put
many...
that on me.
Hold on. I'm going to put it on you because everybody right now will testify that any time we'd be like, look at these girls, man. They're 18. Who's the first person? If there was a survey and everybody was to be honest, like, which one of us guys like young chicks? Who? I mean, really?
Yeah, who
really?
Doesn't like young chicks?
I know,
come
but
on.
Who's got the over-the-top, you know, reputation for liking really young chicks? Lummy, you going to lie or you going to tell the truth? Huh?
Buds.
Jesus, you going to lie or tell the truth?
He's 19.
Well, he knows.
He still knows the answer.
He knows Blitz is looking at Ace's
here.
Friends.
Younger, for sure.
Yeah, I know. Who's the guy around here who's got the reputation of liking young chicks?
Blitz.
Yeah, exactly. Dan?
Blitz.
And Anna, I know that you know.
Oh, Blitz.
One of the problems you and Blitz have is that you're too old.
Right. She's aged out.
I know.
She aged out.
That's the age you aged out.
I know.
So, but I mean, a good minus 10 is a nice pimp number.
Right. It's not a good, solid number.
Not everybody's as solid as Dan and can go minus 19, you know.
Why not?
But you certainly, as you get older, don't want to go older.
No way.
Yeah, I'm just
plus
saying.
Plus 15?
Yeah, who's those suckers?
No
yeah,
kidding.
Unless they're getting
and,
money.
And then, yeah,
unless they're married.
And look, you can go older if she's paying you. If
right.
She's paying the bills.
Yeah, you go up 15 if you
and
are
you can,
getting paid.
And
right?
You can go up if it's just straight blasting and it's just sex. Like, you can go up. Like,
how
you
much, though?
How far?
Oh, I'd say 15.
What?
What's the highest
for,
what's
for, a, for just
blasting a 7-year-old, Bubba.
Oh, no,
you're
I can't
blast
do that.
A 7-year-old?
No,
you
no.
Do the math,
Dan,
did you?
Dan, you died. I wasn't thinking.
He's 109. He doesn't do math.
Dan.
Special
Dan,
class.
Dan.
7-year-old.
No,
two,
I didn't mean
two.
That. I meant.
Spit her teeth out, put it in a cup.
I mean, that's
with,
hot.
With me,
diaper.
I got to say plus 10 max.
What's the most? What's the highest you've gone?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, when I blasted Ellie in Chicago.
Oh, she.
I was 22 and she was 54.
Oh, my God.
Plus
30.
Yeah.
But God dang, when you're 22 and you're with a 54-year-old coug.
Oh, did you call her mommy?
No, I didn't call her mommy.
But she did breastfeed.
She tore me up. I'll tell you what she did do.
What?
She, you know, got some old school Vaseline out.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And she really worked the deal. Now, hold
that's
on.
Nice.
Now, hold on. I mean, she got old school Vaseline, like, and did Stretch Armstrong on it, like, yanked it down and
oh,
everything.
Nice.
Like, really knew her way around that area.
You
and then,
were you
hold
greasy
on.
For 24 hours?
No, Dan, I'm going to tell you this right now. I don't know if because she grew up on castor oil or what, but she went and gave me oral.
Oh.
With the Vaseline on it.
What?
She had chop lips.
Not anymore.
She was a puma.
She was a World War II vet.
She was a Titanic survivor.
And it was so cool because she lived in the high rise that I did, and she worked in the high rise office.
Oh, how
like
handy.
She was, a, you know, so, and but the, my, the high rise, I was at, I lived at McClurg Court. You guys can McClurg Court at like off of I forget what off of McClurg Court. It was like 631 McClurg Court, and they had two towers. I was in Tower A, and she was in Tower B. I was like on the 23rd floor.
Could you see her across?
No,
with the,
no,
the window?
I couldn't see her because she was on the other tower. But she would call me and be like, hey, you want to come over? And want to come over was just literally when I walked in, she was already nude. Like, nice. That's wanting to come over. And literally.
Was it on Ontario Street?
Yes. Yes. And I would never even have to leave the building.
Was she cute?
Yes, for 53, very. She's probably dead, though, now, if you think about it. That was in 19...
Yeah, from natural
that
causes.
That was in 1989. That was 1989. And in 1989, she was 54.
So she's probably 86 now.
Whoa.
Ew.
That's
you
hot,
should go back
dude.
For some old times,
I get
Bubba.
Some more.
Hey, the only way I'd go back is if her dad gave her a McClure cord or something. Like, I just think she was an old office bitch. I don't think she owned it or nothing.
Well, she's a real old office bitch now.
I wonder if she's still alive. Maybe you guys can talk to each other on Facebook.
Come down with some Vaseline.
Trying so hard with that, trying to get that strap. Blitz, do you have a picture of McClure Court?
I just sent you one. Just
oh yeah, this is where I lived. I thought I was thought I was the man. This is when I first started making some money. And that's the parking garage of it.
Well, if you look, like, spin around and look around,
she's probably friends with your mom on Facebook.
My mom never knew about Ellie. No, but Ellie was like a 10 timer. Like, I mean, like,
you just use your mouse and click around.
We mean by like a 10 timer. Yeah, I understand that.
I think there's McClure Court right there.
Oh, I understand.
That's where I lived right there.
That's
nice for the engine.
Yeah, I saw the inside of it. It's real nice.
Oh, yeah. This is where I lived. For real. I lived like about right here, and I could see out to Lake Michigan.
That's cool.
And she lived in another tower, and all I had to do is come down here, go over there, beep, beep, and then back up to the other tower.
So convenient.
Yeah, that's...
Is that a good ass pad for you in Chicago?
Yeah, but not really. Not really. Most of the suburb chicks were afraid to come into the city. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, really? It was a little scary back then?
Yeah, yeah, you know.
You had to just bang the city chicks?
Yeah, and the city chicks were just, well, I don't even know if I can talk about what the city, most women running around downtown Chicago look like.
Oh, okay.
Not ones that I was attracted to, nonetheless. Right. But Ellie was so I guess in my age, I don't know, I can't go, I guess my plus number right now would be like 5, max.
My plus number's negative 20.
Dan, let's say this, okay? Let's just make believe.
Okay.
You and Romina, like, you know, get a divorce or whatever, like 5-6 years from now,
right,
after the kids are gone. And
fail in the escalator.
I don't wish this. I don't want her to think that I wish this, because I want nothing more than you to grow old
to
with
be
your...
together forever,
yes,
like we said.
Yes.
On our wedding day.
Yes, I'd like that. But, you know, things happen. And you get divorced, and all of a sudden, Dan, you know, like this 65-year-old super hot coug who is married to a guy, you know, she...
Bo Derek.
Well, now, hold on. I got to throw in the, like, she's super rich and she's super hot because she was dating, like, she was married to one of the J-Bill guys or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She has a ton of money, and she's paying you. Dan, if you're my sugar daddy or my sugar baby.
Yeah, I'd be the baby.
If you're my sugar baby, I'll buy you a Ferrari of your choice once a year. But you got to come over here once a week and just give me, you know, blast the hell out of me.
Just once a week?
And you got to take me out to dinner once a month.
In public,
Ocean Prime, me and you, you know.
She's paying, though.
Well, yeah, of course.
It's like hold hands and stuff.
Once a month dinner, public dinner, and once a week four blasts in a month and one dinner, and she'll buy you a brand new Ferrari.
That's all you get, though?
Well, I mean, I'm sure if you needed some spending money, she could get you some of that, too, but you're a doctor and a lawyer.
Does she look like Bo Derek at 65?
Does Bo Derek look pretty good at 65?
I think if you're a guy that still got Bo Derek at 65, you don't let her go. Like, you hang on to her.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. I don't know. Hold on, Danny. Yeah. This is exactly what you got right here. This is exactly what you got, Danny.
Is that Bo Derek at 65?
Yep.
I don't know.
Be careful what you wish for, bitch.
But that's better than most 65-year-olds.
Right.
So.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dan, this woman right here, you have to go blast her once a week. And she's going to buy. Now, what's a really nice Ferrari cost? Is there ones that are more expensive than yours?
There's a few, yes. I mean, some of them are $2 million.
All right, but she gives you a $750,000 a year allowance for your car.
Okay.
And then anything anything less of that, you keep as cash.
Right.
So, like, if you'd buy a $500,000 one, you get you put $250 in your pocket in a brand new car.
Gotcha.
And you own it. Like, she signs the title over to you.
I'm there.
And then, I mean, would you do it?
In that situation, yes.
And you have to, like, give her services. You Botox.
It's Bo Derek. It's just like, you know, I remember when...
No, it's not Bo Derek.
No,
it's a girl that
looks
like Bo Derek. Like, it's not Bo Derek. You can't go and tell me and Jimmy Clevis that you're blasting Bo Derek.
Come on, I'm blasting Bo Derek.
No, you're blasting a chick that's as old as Bo Derek and is held up as well as Bo Derek. But it's not the Bo Derek.
Okay.
But it's some old, like I said, it's some old bag that lives in Carrollwood that's a multi-zillionaire now because she divorced her husband that invented J-Bill, and she wants a nice little 55-year-old hot stud like you, little Italian sausage.
And not just blasting, too. You got to give her is oral.
I'm running.
Away or two?
Are you serious, Dad?
Yeah, I'm running away. Sorry.
A free Ferrari.
Sorry. Don't need it.
He's already has one. That's
got
the
it.
Yeah, he already has don't one. So who cares to him?
Going -30.
Did you guys remember?
30 by 30.
Did everybody remember that we have employee evaluations today?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Did everybody take it seriously and fill it out?
Yeah.
Or is everybody just going to wing it? Let's just be honest. If I was
going to wing it,
if I was to say, show me your pieces of paper where you wrote down your employee evaluations. If I asked you, can I see them? What would I see? Blankness.
Dan's asking for a copy right now.
There's mine.
Lummy, look at you.
Mine's two pages.
Look at you, Anna. Let's see yours.
Oh, it's hard to reach because I have the strap.
All right, well, nonetheless.
What did I tell you this morning, Bubba?
Nonetheless, let's see it. Let's see your how much you've prepared for this. Lummy, I'm very impressed with yours.
Thank you,
Blitz,
sir.
Blitz, do you have yours?
Not with me, no.
Right, which means you don't have it at all if you've not done it. So only one that's really been able to produce one so far is Lummy.
Tyler has one. He just sees it. He has
Tyler,
one.
Do you have one?
Yeah, he does.
And it written out and everything?
He's on the mic.
I'm sorry, you there?
Yes, mine's been done for like 2 weeks.
And it's written down?
Yes.
You have words?
Yes.
Hand it over to Blitz.
You have words?
Hand it over to Blitz so he can show the camera.
It's just
if
pictures.
You could,
doodles.
Smiley faces and frown faces.
Yeah.
Picture of sprint cars. Like, Daddy, okay, all right. And Lummy, you have two pages?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And Anna, what do you got?
What you got?
What you got?
You really don't have anything.
Oh, I got it.
Do you?
It's right here.
It looks, I can tell.
Want me to zoom in on it?
Tyler and Lummy had theirs lickety split ready to go. And yeah, zoom in on hers if you could, please. If you can,
he's
please.
Getting farther away. I don't know.
Anna, just put it right to the camera, please, or I'm going to go down there and look at it. I feel like I feel like I'm a teacher. Let me, Anna, can you bring it up to the teacher, please? Bring it up. bring it up.
I didn't fill it out.
You didn't do anything. You and Blitz and Dan. And Dan didn't have a. I don't think Dan.
Don't give me the sheet.
I don't think Dan.
He wasn't here. The copy.
So Dan kind of has a pass,
no.
Which we'll get you a copy from Anna's.
And I'll fill it out.
And Anna, you didn't. Just when you're starting to really get over, you didn't. And this was like a big. We've been saying this is a red letter day. We're gonna do employee evaluations on Tuesday. I mean, we had. I think somebody correct me if I'm wrong. At least 3 weeks heads up on this.
At least two. It's just a big F you to you, Bubba. You know? It's just her not doing it like that. It's just like, you know, Bubba doesn't matter in my life.
Kind of like this is a major programming thing that we're going to do. This is a major content creator. And you and Blitz didn't do it. Like, why? I'm just asking why.
I forgot.
Blitz, what's your reasoning?
I don't have a good one.
Dan, I mean, what would you do if you were me, Dan?
Oh, like,
Dan didn't do it either.
I didn't have a hand. No one gave it to me.
But you knew about it. You could ask for it.
Dan as a friend and as a guy who runs a business as well. I'm not asking him as a co-host of the show. I'm asking him as a guy that has employees, that he has to deal with various stuff. What would you be feeling right now if you were me, and what would you do about it?
Well, I would have done what you've done so far is exactly what I would have done. I would have stripped the belt from Anna and given it to Lummy, because that was an immediate, obvious, correct decision, I think. And then I just told Blitz I was really disappointed in him.
I am. It's just like,
so disappointed in you.
I mean, I know you need to walk 10 miles on Sunday, but you could have put forth a little effort. I mean,
he puts a lot of effort in, but he does a thousand things a day. He doesn't even really document. I mean, he kills himself.
He does, but he knows how important this was to me. I also pay him well, and I also give him bonuses.
Let me bring up a good point. Can we see yours?
I am the guy that's doing the evaluation.
I know, but you said you were going
to
do it.
Oh, you were supposed to fill one out too, Bubba?
Let me message me and said, where's Bubba's at?
Lummy, did you just say that?
Oh, squirrel.
Did you just message that to him?
I was just,
no, hold on. It's a yes or a goddamn no.
Yes.
Wow.
He thought you were going to face everyone by showing him your completed one.
Hold on. Don't get me squirreled. I'm not an employee. It's an employee evaluation. I'm not an employee. I'm corporate. I'm the boss. I don't play that card, but come on now. We'll do it tomorrow. I guess we can't do it tomorrow because Dan's not going to be here.
I'll have mine filled out in eight minutes.
Yeah, because originally we were going to do it on the 17th, but then we moved it because Dan was going to be here.
Yeah, again, we moved it, though, and everybody knew we moved it today.
I could do it during the break.
I'm tired of the excuses. I don't think you can do it during the break and really, really think about it and really, 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 really put some great thought into it. You can put about 5 minutes and 50 seconds into each subsection. We won't even do it. We'll just not do it, or just maybe do it for the two. You know what? I'm just going to do it for the two people that decided to do it. I'm not going to do one for Blitz, and I'm not going to do one for Anna.
We won't be judged on our answers that hard, will we?
What do you mean?
It's an evaluation.
It's a self-evaluation.
Because you have what could Bubba do better? Or if our answers. I'm just saying we won't get in trouble for our answers, will we?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what your answers are.
I'm nervous now that it's going to be Bubba's
Tyler. Bubba's a big fat ass, and
I hate him.
The reason he could get better is if he just shot himself in the face and I didn't have to come to work the next day. I mean, I don't know what your answer is.
No, I just meant because it's now only me and Tyler, and now I'm really nervous that I'm going to, well, of course I'm going to sound dumb, but at least there's going to be someone else that might sound dumb too.
You know, he ain't going to sound dumb. I'm his dad.
I know. Oh.
Don't make any adjustments, Lummy.
I'm not, and Blitz,
I for real, like I'm not real happy. Like,
I know.
It's not cool.
I'm sorry.
Like, it's really not cool. Like, we have a business here. This is a business. We're creating content. We pre-sell and tease what we got going on. And then if we don't do it, then it just makes us look like we don't care. And that's what it looks like. You two don't care. And if you two don't care, then just, I mean, leave. Like, if you don't want to be here and you don't want to participate on things that I've created and you think it's stupid or it's not worth your time or you don't have time to do it, then why are you working with me? Like, why are we even trying to do this? I mean, it comes to a point where I can be Johnny Nice Guy so long, and then it comes to a point where I take it personally. I mean, I do pay you. And you are in radio, and you have a hell of an opportunity in front of you. Or if you think that this job sucks and you could do better on your own or working at another radio station, if you'd like to stay in this business, go try to find something that's better than this. Or if you don't want to even be in this business, then go find what you go be a waitress or an IT guy or whatever. But if you're going to work for me, I don't ask a lot. I'm very lenient. I think it's a super cool environment. But, you know, don't make me look stupid. That's when I get most mad, is when you guys make me look stupid and I should do something, but I don't. Then when I don't do something, this is what happens. people continue to just not do things because there are no repercussions for not doing things.
Can I make a suggestion?
I would love a lifeline right now.
If you zip tie them together for 6 hours.
No.
Just like, no, like hand to hand, like handcuffs. Like they were attached to each other for like 6 hours and had to deal with each other.
No, it's not even a stunt. Like, it's not even a stunt type of deal. It's more towards a like, you know what, like I'm just disappointed and I'm taking it personal because I think that it's a reflection on how much you care or don't care. And I think that, quite frankly, most people don't really even grasp of the opportunity that we all collectively have and how lucky we are to be able to be self-sufficient in our own little fishbowl of a world. Most radio personalities that get kicked out of radio, as hard as I got kicked out, don't have an opportunity to have the distribution methods that we do. From owning our own content to having our own studios to, you know, whatever. To not having to work for corporate. To be able to do our own thing. Most radio personalities could not, you know, make $30,000 or $35,000 a year and be able to have payroll and rent and insurance and payroll tax and social and all and, you know, power and light. I mean, that's what it takes to run this business. And I don't know of any other radio personalities that could generate that type of income other than what we are doing. So there you go. I mean, I've said my piece. I hope you know that I'm mad. This isn't shtick. I'm mad. Do you blame me for being mad?
Like, no.
Like on a, like, I guess if we were going to do an employee evaluation, evaluate you not what you think I should be thinking right now.
Oh,
on what, on your lack of caring and not getting something that I asked, you know, and with a fair amount of time.
Your feelings about this are valid. I feel bad. It wasn't intentional. I really did just forget. I don't have an excuse, but that's the reason why. It wasn't intentional. And I'm sorry.
And Blitz, I mean, I know you got a million things going on, but you and I have a daily meeting, and that's our dynamic. And, you know, those are your responsibilities. And that's why you make what you make and the bonuses that you get. And you do the most amount of work. But, you know, I do my best to compensate you.
I know you do.
And when this just... The dynamic that you and I have anyway is geared towards you being kind of a dick, but this is really kind of a like a dick move.
It wasn't intentional.
And more importantly, I just want you two to understand what it makes me feel like and look like to our listeners. And that's what I'm most mad about. I have an ego. I don't want to look like a bitch boy. But I'm in a slippery slope too. I can't really punish you because the show needs you. And automatically, if I do some type of suspension or something like that, then 50% of chat in our world hates me. And I'm too heavy-handed and blah, 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 blah. And you can't do good radio. All you do is mess with people. You know, I don't come in here trying to be mad at anybody. Just organically, things that we've talked about kind of gets me in that demeanor. So, I don't know. I mean, Dan, you're really the only person I can turn to because you're the only guy that has to manage people, you know, like this is a business.
I think you've made your point very clearly. I don't think that Blitz, you know, was trying to purposefully blow it off. And Anna had her belt to prepare for.
Now you're not being fair.
Why?
Because you're skewing towards Blitz. You're kissing Blitz's ass.
First of all,
to get a little jib in on her.
I was making a joke about Anna, but seriously, all kidding aside though, Bubba, Blitz does more than any of us combined. Us combined, except for you, to make this show go forward. So I understand him being overwhelmed.
Agreed. I absolutely agree.
You know, I come in here part time, and so I don't. You know, I give you what I can give you, but I don't have that kind of, you know, I don't have that kind of work package for you.
This isn't about you.
I understand that, but I'm
just asking you to give me your opinion on the two people I'm trying to manage, and now you're making it about you.
But what I'm saying is,
now you're
Bubba,
pissing me off.
What I'm saying, Bubba, is that when I have an employee that's critical to me, it's a different guidelines that I deal with than someone that's not as critical.
You're going to try to tell me that I don't treat Blitz with kid gloves around here?
I understand that, and I think it's warranted because he does do so much.
Trust me, I know the pecking order of people that work here and their and how valuable, and Blitz is at the very top.
And when my top people, you know, make a mistake or don't do something, it's very, very difficult for me to deal with it because I don't know how to deal with it. It's very difficult
right.
to deal
like
with those
Jennifer.
Things.
Like Jennifer. Blitz right. is your Jennifer.
Right.
And if Jennifer kind of did an FU type deal to you, you'd be a little bit spun out too because you're like, that's my number two guy.
Right. Something slipped by her over the last couple of weeks that I found yesterday, and it was really between her and Katie. And I was like, oh, God, how do I get mad at these people? Because, you know, Katie's critical. Jennifer's even more critical. And it's really difficult because, you want them to understand that you're frustrated. Please don't keep doing this. But I don't want to be in a situation where I'm mad at you because you're important to me and we're a team. And when there's discourse and strife, it's counterproductive.
Well, that's not the Dan I see at the office.
Well,
I see at the office is a real dick.
Well, I'm a dick to some people, but you can't be a dick to your sergeant or your lieutenant. You know, it's very difficult because you have to keep working with them. You can't just beat on them.
This isn't about them being fired.
I understand that.
That's not even an option. Like, I want everybody to understand that's not even an option. That's not even an option with time off or being fired. More importantly, it just hurts. It just hurts because we become so close, and I feel sometimes when they don't do things I ask, they're taking advantage of my kindness. And then that makes me feel weak and stupid and not a good leader. At the end of the day, I am the leader of this group.
Without a question, Bubba. And sometimes kindness is taking the high road, and sometimes it's appreciated, and it's especially when it's unexpected, because you're right now, Anna is nervous, Blitz is a little uncomfortable, and they feel your frustration. And I think that sometimes you give them a pass, but the next time you come down heavier.
Whatever. We'll just move on. I have really, really, I wouldn't say become a minimalist, but I have, you know, went from living in a 65 or 6,700 square foot place to, you know, living in a little apartment mm-hmm. on the other side of my sister's house. And it's kind of simple. I wasn't able to take hardly any clothes. I kind of like it. A lot of times I find myself wanting something and I know it's in storage, but I get over it.
How would you compare your happiness levels if you really thought about it in a reflective way?
Mixed.
Okay.
Mixed.
Yeah, okay.
You know who your true friends are.
But you also appreciate what you have now in a way I don't think you did before.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So you have maybe less, but you appreciate what you have.
I appreciate everything from human beings to the little bit of money that I've been able to save.
Right.
To, you know, you really take inventory. When you're at your lowest, you take inventory on who's still around.
And what's important, actually important.
And what's actually important.
Right.
And, you know, the Jimmy Clevises, the Fabrizis, the Diacos, the Tom Beans, the Reginas, you know, the baby faces, you know, I could go on and on.
Your core group that stuck around.
Yeah. You know, the Sumos, the Larry Plumbers, you know, the Blitz of, I know. Getting
He's
to you.
He's getting there.
Although you're not the top of my list today, you're certainly in that core, my friend. You know, the Rush Brunos. You know, the Mark Tate.
Your family.
I know that I don't talk about Mark Tate a lot, but look at the big risk he took on me.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
I mean, he's still. I still owe him money. I was upside down on this studio. They were going to take it. I was literally 30 days from losing this mm-hmm. studio, and he comes in and is like, listen, on paper, nobody would ever give you a chance in the world on paper. But I believe that you're scrappy and that you're a fighter, and I really think you can make it. I think you can turn this around a little bit. And there's been all the people that I mentioned earlier, all had that mentality, all helped me in various different ways. I mean, the Diacos. I mean, just be honest, a lot. Dan and Steve and Jay, many a times you know, and it was so humbling and so embarrassing, would sneak me an envelope. Sometimes Jay would be like, hey, I got to show you something in my car. It almost makes me want to cry now. And he would like say, hey, you need this. And he would like, you know, give me like a little bit of money. Like, you know, even if it was like $400 or $500, he knew that it would be, I'd be able to make my truck payment or, mm-hmm. you know, and all my boys did. Fabrizi did that. Tom Bean did that. Danny did that. Steve did that. Jimmy did that. You know, just my Kevin did that. My boys. And I'll never forget. You very much take inventory when you're at your lowest.
The biggest red tree in the world still started off as a little plant that needed a little help every now and then, and eventually it became into a mountain
of a
tree.
I'm glad you don't have the strap. I'd be taking it away from you with this little stupid fable that you're doing. You don't see Jay whipping out stupid red tree fables. My God.
No.
You're lucky you're my boyfriend. I'm becoming very intolerant of you today.
And also a lot of the fans are stuck
with your hero shirt. No, and let's not forget, Blitz, thank you, and the fact that all those people,
yeah,
all those people are the people that I see, you know, that I can physically see, and, mm-hmm. and but I mean, the Bubba Lights, the Big Fildos, mm-hmm. the Creatines, the Big Reds, the Iggies, the Scound Big Gulps, the Greg and Amy's, the, yeah. you know, the Todd McCabe's, the Joe from the West Side, the Nero Nisbiz, I mean, yep. all
donate time, money,
a hierarchy, all the Bubba Army royalty. From Donkey Teeth to everybody, to Scout and Big Gulp, to Susan Poitras, to everybody.
But not Unsavory.
But not Unsavory.
Yeah, I know.
Or Ghost Shuck.
Right.
Or Creatine Travis. Or Hootie Who. Definitely. None of those guys.
But OFF for sure.
Definitely OFF.
Yeah.
But that
and,
ass.
And you know what? And hold on. You want to get a lot of heat? And not Iggy, but his new girlfriend.
Why are you blocking me, Iggy?
I'm going to get killed. But... You know, I'm doing better. Mm-hmm. But when I do, and when I'm able to save a little bit of money, you know, when I'm able to save $500, $600, $700, $800, and I got a little bit of money, it feels so good because it just, I don't know, I could go on and on as to how humbling it is to lose it all. Like I literally lost it all. I lost all of it. Like there's nothing left. There was my business. I think 2 years ago. Tom Bean took me, he goes, the Bubba Radio Network lost $118,000. You can't do this any longer. Mm-hmm. Like, you're out of money. Like, you don't have anything.
What?
And so at that point, Tom, I mean, I think it might have been in 18. Remember, Blitz, I'd have to go to Tom to get money to make payroll?
Yep.
And Tom would write me like a $3,500 or, you know, $3,600 check mm-hmm. so I could make payroll. And each, you know, Dan, Jay, Steve, you guys are all familiar with having to help me. But that's what friends do. And I'll be forever grateful. And I've certainly missed a few people in there.
Yeah.
Remember Blitz? Sumo would come down here, stay with me, and then leave me $1,000 in my medicine cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
A little surprise.
Your sister.
You know, my sister, you know, is at the top of that list.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean. When I needed $3,000 down payment because my credit's so bad for my truck, she went down there and stroked it out. Oh, and she also gave him the money. You know, Rob Elder helped me.
RE3.
Rob Elder helped me tremendously. And it's just, you know, Danny, you don't know what it's like to have lost. I don't know. Danny, I don't know if you could do it. Well, I'm going to be dead honest with you. I mean, you could do it because you got a great infrastructure. Like, your family is solid.
He wouldn't have to do it, you know.
Yeah, but I mean
fortunately
like,
for him.
Dan, can you imagine losing your house, losing your family, losing your job, and not even being able to pay a $218 water bill because they were getting ready to shut your well? I don't think you could wrap your head around that, could you?
Well, you know, the only thing similar to that was when I was in my residency, there were a couple times where I was really like,
you lost a couple chicks, you had to
he lost a girlfriend. There was nothing similar about that.
Exactly.
No, but
it's always about him. Could you imagine?
The head cheerleader broke up with me one time.
When
I was mad
21
as hell.
And my abs were booming.
Yeah, I guess cried in the mirror.
No, but I mean,
he only had a six pack and not an eight pack.
What was your woes me
Add
story?
Your son is gone. How about that one?
When?
Yeah, lose Danny.
Right.
Donkey Teeth BTLS gets the 10 subs.
Go ahead. Let's hear your stupid comedy story, Danny.
Which is there was a time where I was like, literally, like, you know, doing my residency, working 100 hours a week, not making any, barely making any money, not able to make ends meet, you know, being upside down financially.
Guess what?
What?
You're still a doctor, bitch.
I know.
You're gonna make that money. This wasn't when you were. This wasn't when you were 53, Danny. This was when you were 23.
I was like 27. Okay, but yeah,
then.
I get it.
You got to think too. There's a lot of people who live paycheck to paycheck or unable to pay their bills, and you know, and it's a little different too because you were at that point, but you a year or two prior were in a multi-million dollar mansion that you could buy whatever you wanted.
And you know, chat makes an interesting point. You know, Manson, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. Manson was making so much, making 90,000. He was paying, still at the end of my run, I was paying him 90,000 a year.
Don't you think he saved it, though?
And Tom Bean told me 3 years prior, you've got to get rid of this guy. You cannot financially, you know, not take a paycheck and pay him, you know, two times the amount of what he should be making. And I'm like, no, I'm loyal to that guy. That's my guy. He's got a family. I can't. He's like, yeah, well, you got a family, too. You got responsibilities. And so really, man.
Even when you were off air, you were paying your guys. I mean, when you were completely off air for a while, you were giving guys money.
Back then, yeah.
No, yeah, no. Back in the day when you had it and they didn't, you were making sure that everybody was taken care of. And that's noble.
But you know what? Manson quitting, God bless his little soul, was exactly what I needed. That was the, you know. I can pay two guys.
That's when things started turning around on Twitch and all that anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't need somebody writing songs about how stupid I am and fat I am and how I've lost it all and you're a loser. And you can, I mean, a certain amount of that's funny, but I remember Randy Michaels took me aside one day. And Randy Michaels, arguably, if anybody knows anything about me or knows anything about radio, is probably the smartest man ever to be in radio.
Agreed. I know him well.
If you take in consideration the engineering aspect of radio, the showmanship of radio, the managing talent of radio, the selling of radio.
Creative.
Knowing what radio stations are worth, knowing their power, knowing he's the absolute rain man of radio. And he's the one that gave me the reins or the freedom to establish the Bubba the Love Sponge character on the Power Pig. He is the one that allowed me to be outrageous and become what I've become. That being said, he was very familiar. He was the CEO of Clear Channel for, you know, all of my career for the most part. And he knew the dynamic of the show. And he came to town one, I think like it's in 2017, to do some business in Tampa. And he listened to the show and we had dinner that night. And he's like, hey, I hate to say it, but you got to get rid of Manson. He called him Mike. You got to get rid of Mike. I'm like, oh, Randy, I don't want to. Like, that's my guy. He's been with me for 22 years at that point. He's like, his stuff's not funny anymore. It's all negative. And you need to be making songs about how cool you are and how you're not going to let this, you know, this era bring you down. And not about how fat, stupid.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
You lost your son. You're never going to, you know, you don't, people don't want to be reminded. This is you're still in show business at the end of the day. And plus he's making, you know, two times of what he should. You guys have, you know, you're pared down to nothing. You got to get rid of him. It's a tough decision, but you, and I still, to this day, never got rid of him. He quit.
That's his boy, 71, 1,000 bits.
But I never heard that story before, though. That's incredible, but he had that kind of insight.
Manson quitting saved the show.
Lakeland, who's your five? Give to 10 subs.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I mean, Blitz, and you're right. That's when things turned around. That's when people that work in this building need not to hate and despise me. And if you do hate and despise me, for real, not just a little bit on air, but for real, then you need to get out of here.
And I'm not saying that him leaving is what turned around. I mean, like, just time-wise, it was turning around anyway.
But that also changed the direction of your show and freed up $90,000 a year.
Well, and it also freed up
creativity.
It made me do. I'm a different host when I don't have Ned.
Yes,
and when I don't have me,
I agree.
I'm a different guy.
Yes,
and you know, I have a different role now. I have to do more, and so anyway, I don't know where we got into all that.
I want a Taylor Twist job, 1,000 bits.
Anyway, I was looking at this little house. How
Creighton, Paper Tiger Travis, 10.
Oh my God! I had a beautiful text exchange with him yesterday. Thank you, buddy.
He's a great guy.
Is he coming Friday night?
He's going to let me know. He has right now maybe a family Christmas party. But
okay.
He's chucking.
I certainly understand. It might be Anna. Can you do me some music? I'll pay you for it.
Of course. I already have a playlist almost ready to go.
Like a Christmas leading deal, or
no? No, not at all.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah.
I already got Christmas-leaning themes on our OnlyFans. By the way, we've already got 2 new OnlyFans signups for people wanting to see the 12 boobs, or I'm sorry, the Toys for Tata stuff that we did back in the day. So, Blitz, make sure you get that up if you can by noon.
Yep.
Can we open this?
What's that?
The presents from Nick.
Yeah. Everybody open up your presents. Nick, is it Nick the Gun Guy?
Yes.
Cartier.
Which I think Nick the Gun Guy, at every way, shape, or form, has touched all of our lives. He's our official gun broker, is he not?
Sure
is.
This guy got me.
Is he the one who made mine, Dan?
Yes. Is this a taser?
I like Nick. Nick's cool.
And Blitz, isn't Nick, he's a licensed...
Did somebody get her a taser?
I think there's something there for me, Dan.
Oh, if somebody got her a taser.
Is this a taser?
Oh, please, God, say no.
Please say no. No.
Is it?
No taser for horse.
I don't know what it is.
I hope she shocks herself.
I do too.
It.
You know what? If there's really a God upstairs, he'll shock her immediately.
That is a taser, I think.
Oh, yes, God. Please shock yourself. Oh, it's probably a stun gun.
Sorry. Right here?
Yeah.
I don't think I should have this.
Oh, Blitz, I got some badass 45 rounds. Some Sig Sauer.
I got some 12 gauge buckshot.
Elite Performance Ammunition, the V Crown 20 Jacket Hollow Point Center File Pistol.
That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's what
looks I'm gonna like an extended.
It's better than that ammo that you gave me on Friday. That cheap range ammo.
That was expensive range ammo.
That's not well. The best. Nonetheless, it's still range ammo.
I got some 9mm.
I think my boyfriend wouldn't give me range ammo. Hope I don't get used needles on Friday when I go in for treatment.
Thank you,
Nick.
My God.
Thank you, Nick.
Did you get a taser?
A stun gun.
I'm scared of it.
I hope she
turn
maces,
it on.
I hope she
on
maces
once.
Herself and then stuns it.
Ah!
Let me see it.
Just.
It should go really loud.
I know. I know.
It should be super loud.
How big is this magazine,
Dan? I'm scared. 40
gave me
40 or 44.
Should I do it?
Look at that thing. Do it.
Am I going to hurt myself?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do it.
Oh, I would get anything. I would get anything I own if somebody put it right under bean dip boobies.
Whoa.
Lummy, can I shop you with it, please?
Ew.
Lummy. What? All the screw ups that you've done.
Well, I haven't done anything today. I did my list and the parody thing. I'm good. Today I'm good, boy.
If a chip sends him to the hospital, that thing's he'll be
let
dead.
Let me, Dan.
That'll kill him.
As a doctor, Dan, that wouldn't kill you, would it?
No, it's designed not to kill you. It's supposed to be non-lethal.
Dan, if someone said, "Would a potato chip send you to the hospital for a week?" What would you say?
Yeah, that's a pretty good point too.
Impossible.
I mean, that's a pretty good point too. Lummy, please, Lum, let me do it, please.
Well,
don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro.
Dan, are you going to do it to yourself, or are you going to be a stud and do it to your shoulder?
No,
careful, Dan.
Dan, stun yourself.
That's not
show
a
it
true sculpt flex.
Exactly. If that would give him abs, Bubba,
Dan,
he would do that.
Yeah,
Dan.
Hey, Dan, that's going to give you more abs.
Dan, nothing can penetrate your abs. Put it right on your gut. Come on.
Hold it up a little bit, Dan, so we can see it. There you go.
Dan, you're
now do it.
Dan's looking at the engineering
can
of
I do it,
and
to you?
And he's thinking about it.
I just don't want to burn.
It's not going to burn through.
We'll put a lot of fabric on you.
Through your hero shirt, Dan.
Let me give him this Bubba royalty shirt I have.
I have surgery, so last thing I need is a seizure right before surgery.
Man, you're pussing out.
You have a seizure with it?
Let's just do it. I'm asking, can you have a seizure?
That's what I'm asking.
Let's just do it right to Lummy's leg, the side of his leg. I mean, like, there's a lot of meat there.
I don't want a seizure, but now Dr. Dan's got me even more nervous.
I'm not going to put it like on
his
temple.
Like, get it right on his quad one time. And just get a nice, like, I mean, come on, Lummy. You're the show buffoon. Come on, buddy.
Oh, wait, doctor.
Dan's coming over. Don't do that, Dan.
Dan, do it. Dan,
Jay's
yes,
freaking
it.
Out.
Jay, be quiet.
Can you do it? So your thighs on camera?
How about his butt? Look how much meat's on his butt. Look how much. That's a ham hock right there, it is.
I mean,
can you stand up so I can see your thigh on camera?
I mean, it's not a big deal. This is going to push you over.
Show off them quads.
Standing. He's going to fall.
He's not going to fall. He's a big man, he is.
But he does not look like he wants you to do that to him.
I know. Nobody
look at Lummy's face. He's like, come on, really?
Lummy, tell Dan it's okay to do it.
I think it's Jay's the one that's most worried.
Jay, quit being a lawyer.
Why so close to his junk?
Not his balls.
Not like a shoulder?
Right on your quad. Just take it, buddy.
You don't know?
I've done it many a time.
Have you?
Yes, it's not a big deal. It's a zillion volts. Just let do it.
When Bubba had the taser gun, he would pull the prongs out and he would shock me in the arm with it back in the day.
Yeah,
he'd run around his house shocking people.
For real?
Are you going to pull it away?
Yes, he'll just.
Okay.
Not on the skin.
Why would you do skin?
Yeah. Skin.
Not on the skin.
I'm going to throw Jay out of here. Let's see them quads. He's all lawyered up right now.
Skin or no skin?
Dan was talking about no burn. Well, whatever. How about this? Whatever Bubba says.
Skin. It's my facility.
Quad it up.
Ow!
No, he didn't.
No,
even,
he did it.
No, he did it.
Yes, he did.
Yes, I did.
He took it like a champ.
Oh, man, it went right through his meat. You couldn't even hear.
Mickey peeled. All my old legs are singling.
Singling.
All my legs are singling.
Would you have fallen?
All the funky singling.
You would have.
Yeah. I see down. The funky shingling.
He fell into the chair.
So, Anna, if you're jogging and some bad guy comes up, you just go, zzz, zzz, you just
and I got mace. I think I got pepper spray as well.
I'd go pepper spray first.
Shock him and then pepper spray him.
No, Dan, shocking them requires you to be too close to them.
Well, and now I can do a rear naked choke.
But, Lummy, did that disable you or just make you mad?
No, it took me a little bit.
Would have put it right on
would
your
Would you have
bulls?
Stopped in your tracks? You'd have been like, listen, I'm angry.
So, Lummy, can we do your bulls?
No.
But, Lummy, would you have been like 2 or 3 seconds where she could have run afterwards? Like,
yes.
You couldn't have done anything with that leg for a couple moments?
Yes.
Okay, so that wouldn't just anger you to swing at her. You would have been, like, dealing with your leg.
No, I would have went kind of down.
Right, then it's effective.
Yeah, then he would have gotten better and ran her down and beat her up even more because she zipped him. Anna, what are you doing?
I'm trying to post the video.
She's doing a video. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, Anna, get your stun gun again and that's what you show the bad guys is you have to show them the actual.
Hey, got a stun gun.
But the thing with that stun gun is it takes like a second for it to recharge.
Anna, when you act afraid of your own instrument, the bad guy is going to come up and take it from you.
Yeah.
Anna, scary.
If a guy pulls a gun
like
and goes,
the
I got a gun, and he's like, oh,
squeak.
I'm taking that gun from that guy and shooting him with his own gun. Anna, you have to be sure of yourself. Be like, bitch, back off.
Bitch, back off.
Ah. See, that's not how you do it, Anna.
It's not very threatening.
I didn't make a sound when I did it to Lummy at all. But yeah, I knew exactly, because as soon as I hit the button, he started
when it's
twitching.
On the skin, it doesn't make the noise.
Yeah, because it's going through the skin. It's going through the meat. Right. So, Anna, let's act like a bad guy is coming up and then show us like, bitch, back off and have some confidence. Go ahead.
Back off, Mr. Man. There you go.
You don't give
scram.
You don't give.
Oh, it's battery's dead, sorry.
It's probably got a little battery.
Yeah,
it's true.
And now I'm dead.
Recharge. Had to go
meat. So now I'm dead.
Had to go through a bunch of
Lummy. But
meat.
I have pepper spray. Aha!
That will work.
Wait,
man.
I don't know if
that
I can
takes
open
a bad
it.
Guy right down to zero. The pepper spray.
Don't spray that.
No. Everyone in this room will be.
I'm
hurting.
Not. I'm just trying to stay open.
Hey, she had the safety on.
Did you see every one of us back the F up on the spare? Like, oh, every one of us were like, oh no, do not. We've all been exposed to even the remnants of pepper spray.
Big irritant.
The worst.
Even the remnants, even like if Jay sprayed the tree right now, just a fine little particle got near you. Oh, it's bad.
What is this little nod?
Let's take everything away from this bitch, please.
Yeah,
please.
Why don't you read the directions so you don't hurt yourself?
I'll look at it.
There are
somebody,
no directions.
Can I
swipe it?
No, you can put everything down, take a step away, leave all your stuff. You don't know what you're doing.
I don't.
You're going to end up. I don't care if you hurt yourself, but if you blow off the pepper spray in the studio,
No, pepper spray's away.
There's probably a YouTube tutorial on it that a millennial made on that.
Yeah. If you were a single guy and a hot chick walked up to you and said, hey, not for nothing, my name's Anna. You want to...
Do you want the best?
No.
No.
He just walked up and say, hey, I'm Anna. What's your name? Chris. Hey, Chris. Been watching you, you know, here at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
You want a truck? Obviously, I can't use the word.
Of course not. Those you are not
wanna,
the words.
You want to front the door?
Yeah.
And just the word in itself, as a four-letter word, is just so hot.
Yeah, but I mean, if a chick walked up and said that, I'd be like, what's your problem?
Yeah, has a girl ever done that to you, Bubs? Hey.
When you weren't famous.
When I was not famous.
That's different.
No, not when I was. Yeah. When I've not been famous. No, but it has happened a lot.
Sure.
The more famous I became.
Of course.
I'm very famous.
Just two lines.
I'm very famous, and there's getting ready to be a whole NFT deal about
me. And you've driven
me.
A lot of trucks.
And I've driven a lot of trucks.
Yep.
Why do you think I'm so good at driving trucks?
Right.
Hong Kong.
And
you're
so
almost like, you're almost like Ford
yes,
itself.
Yes, I have had. Well, a lot. Every girl during the power. I mean, I should have a documentary just on the groupies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, Blitz! I should write a movie about the groupies.
Yeah, you have to reenact. You have to reenact all of it.
No, ooh. You can't show modern day Bubba. You're gonna have to get like a guy who's gonna play Bubba. I know who's gonna play me. The guy that was in Wolf of Wall Street.
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
He's Jack Black.
He's like Jack now.
How about Jack Black? Who plays Bubba in my groupie movie?
Hmm.
What modern-day actor plays Bubba? Now, Blitz, you got to understand.
It's like early 90s, like mid-90s Bubba?
Yeah, yeah. See, I think you go with just an era, and you go where I was in a little bit better shape. Like,
oh,
you know,
okay.
Like 99 through, you know, like the hog trial era.
I mean.
You know, you, 270-pound Bubba.
I mean, I think it's kind of more impressive when you were laying heavy and getting all the groupies too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I mean, yeah. You know, in shape famous guy getting groupies, like, okay. I mean, who you know, not who cares, but duh.
Oh.
But you know,
but you're saying 488 pounds.
488 getting all the groupies.
And 488 Bubba was killing it, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely killing
it. That's way more impressive if you think about it.
And it got to be where like I was so heavy where I couldn't even really have all I could get was oral.
Oh no. I mean, that's
true therapeutic confessions from the Bob of the Love Sponge show today, ladies and gentlemen.
But that's really nice as well.
But that's what it would be like. The girl would go, like she would come to the radio station knowing that's what she was going to do.
Okay. Now,
then we had like Jessica Basketballs. She was every Wednesday, and then we got lock-ins on it where like Jessica Basketballs was on Wednesdays, and I think Heather the Vibrator Chick was like on Thursdays.
Now, did you like?
And then like Fridays we didn't have any, but then Monday and Tuesdays we had regulars.
Getting back
at that time, did you have a girl like?
Oh yeah, I was engaged.
Oh
yeah, of course he was.
Okay, now
I was engaged to Holly.
Were you banging her or no? I mean, if you couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, in a creative way, we had a creative way because you know.
Okay.
I was heavy as hell.
I know.
She was wiping my ass with a towel.
I know, and you were cheating on her every night.
God bless her. That still boggles my mind. That's probably the most pimp story you've ever told.
But
was she?
No, how about the banging the prison trustee?
Right? That was pretty good. But the fact that this bitch was wiping your ass and you were cheating on her is like, that's like metaverse for me. Like, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's been some moments in my life where I've been doing something, and I just close my eyes.
Yeah.
And I think about
brother. Oh,
I think about the people that I grew up with in Warsaw, Indiana. Like, is John Valentine or Chris Stein or Larry Plummer? Are they right now? Are they doing this? And have they ever done this in their entire life?
I mean, I've somewhat thought the same thing.
Get their butt wiped and then
no,
bang some other
horse. More like being on my own tour bus and having you know like three girls on there
pooping in a box and making your fiance clean it in your carpeted garage. That's pretty
pimp. She wasn't a fiance.
Oh, I thought that was Holly.
Bubba's pimpness led from having a threesome in his own tour bus to when he came home one day and pooped in a box and made his girlfriend clean it as he jumped into the pool to clean his ass.
D. Brian Steele, 1,000 bits.
It's pimping
then
my world.
Then have the pool company come and do a complete water rechange. There's so many things. What did somebody just do? Must have been on chat.
What?
Did Bubba stand or sit to have sex with his ex-wife? She's calling you a scumbag.
No, they said, did you stand or sit when she wiped your butt? That's what they asked.
I would do my stuff.
Oh, yeah, like over a couch, right?
Did you have like a little bell when you were done?
Oh, no, a poop bell? Did you have a poop bell?
Like the guy from Breaking Bad. Remember the old guy? He had a bell every time he needed
like the
something.
Service bell.
Oh, but ding, ding, remember, he couldn't talk, and so like you'd ask him questions. Hey, Pedro, do you know about this one guy over here?
Ding.
And then he'd be like, ding. Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Oh,
ding, ding.
No.
You want us to keep kill him or to keep him alive? Ding, ding, kill.
Ding, ding.
No,
wipe my ass.
I would have to strategically time my bowel movement so that she was home. And then I'd have to tell her, I'm getting ready to go to the bathroom.
So get the towel ready.
So, and she'd be like, okay, honey. And then I'd do am I really talking about this?
Yes, I need to finish the story right now. Finish the story right now. Immediately. Finish the story right now. Then what? Then how did she do it? Were you on the toilet and you would like bend forward?
No.
No, he had to go to the couch.
He went to the couch and bent over the couch.
Yeah.
See, that's not how it went.
How'd it go? Because that's what you said in the past.
Would you have to spread your own cheeks or would you do that for
you?
Would
you go to like the bed and bend over the bed like doggy style and she wiped it? Chunk of wood, 1,000 bits.
Procedurally, here's how it went.
Okay.
How'd it go?
I'm sure Jackson's going to make this a one-off. By the way, have you seen our YouTube? Blitz, you got to admit, Jackson is doing a pretty good job on kind of what our vision, when we were wanting to kind of get a video guy that listened to the show and would like, I think Jackson is closest to what we've envisioned if any video guy we've had in a while. I think it's making a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need to know how you wiped your butt.
So, Jackson, I'm sure that you're going to probably cut all that out and seam this now with my Bubba, how I got my butt wiped when I was 488 pounds.
Fiance that you were
this
cheating
is
on.
1997. When I was 488 pounds, we had a whole big butt wiping regimen.
Yeah.
All right. So you ring the bell.
Because I was too heavy and my arms to my body length, like
your ratio.
Write that down, Lummy.
My arms to my body length ratio. I don't know that I've ever been diagnosed by having short armitis, but I think I might have.
Short arm syndrome?
Yeah.
Short, yeah. Like T-Rex-itis.
Yeah. T-Rex-itis.
But like, I know, I think I might have the average. You know, Lummy, maybe one of these days we can see what is the average reach for a 5'10" man? I can ask old girl.
I mean, I think you're average. I mean, don't forget, you were almost 500 pounds.
Yeah. And so I think I'm average in an arm span. I just think my body.
You're barrel chested because you're so stout and strong.
But my body, it's an optical illusion. Since my body is big too, then my arms look a little more T-Rex-y than they really are.
Yeah, 100% optical illusion.
Hey, Alexa, what's the arm span of a 5'10" man?
5'10" adult weight description is usual weight for someone who is 5'10" tall is between 128.9 pounds, 9 stone 3 pounds, and 174.3 pounds, 12 stone 6 pounds.
Oh, so 174 on the top end.
The heaviest I'm supposed to be is 174.
Yeah.
Gee, if I was 174, you guys would put me in the hospital for having HIV.
Right.
Okay, but hey, Alexa, what is the arm span of a 5'10" man?
5'10" adult weight description is usual weight for someone who is 5 feet.
Alexa,
and 10
stop.
How about asking for the reach?
Okay. Hey, Alexa, what is the average reach of a 5'10" man?
Usual weight for someone who is 5 feet and 10 inches tall is between 128.9 pounds.
Alexa, shut up. Hey, Alexa, what's the average penis size of a 5'10" man?
Let me bing.
5'10" adult weight description is usual weight
Alexa,
for someone.
Alexa, stop!
Who...
If you say 5'10", she's just going to give you weight.
Yeah, Lummy, what do you got? What do you got, Lummy, on the bing side?
5'10" man average is 69.7 inches.
69.7?
Yes.
Write that down. We're going to have to measure mine out. 69.7 inches. What else? What other parameters do they have?
Oh, I just looked up for your thing. Mm.
So, Blitz, what if I come in at 70? Then I'm actually a little not like on the other side of the deal. I'm long reach Willie on the deal.
Right. I mean, your reach should be as tall as you are usually, isn't it?
No.
Well, 5'10" is 70 inches.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
5'10" is 70 inches, and I'm not. I'm just a tad under 5'10", actually. But we don't know what my arm length. What if my arm length comes in at 65? Then I'm abnormal. That means,
don't we have a measuring tape around here?
I think we have one. I don't know.
I got one right here.
Done. Can you bring it in real fast? I mean, like, before we go to break, and then I can pick up.
And then you'll tell us how you wiped that ass.
I don't know if I want to. It really makes me look like a. It looks. It's.
But
it's,
we already know what happened. We just want to know the mechanics of it.
It's embarrassing.
Well, of course it is. That's why it's fun to talk about.
Well,
but here he comes.
Well, you go fingertip to finger. Now, Blitz, don't short me either. Try to be like.
Yeah. Don't run down.
I'm cramping.
Oh no! Don't cramp.
Oh, look at this, Bubba.
What does it say?
71.5.
Oh, damn. Long arm Jones over here.
So, Blitz, not it's like I'm on the longer side
Measure
of a 5'10".
Measure his circumference.
I am thick.
You are.
That's what most girls say. Yeah, I'm not long, but I'm thick.
Mm. Yeah.
Like a Red Bull can.
Well, I know I'm not that thick, but I got, you know, usually the first thing a girl says is, oh, God.
Wow.
That's thick. Is that Jim Brewer?
I think so.
You want me to get it? Or?
This is Jim Brewer, whose parents used to live in Palm Harbor.
This is.
Who stood me up, but I still love you, buddy.
You're live, by the way.
You know what?
You're live, too.
How are you doing? First of all, Anna was on it, and this is, I don't know if this is age or me just not caring about life in general, and I don't check emails, but Anna was like, yeah, we're going to do this date. I said, I haven't talked to Bubba forever. This is going to be amazing. And then she even said, hey, we're still good. And like next week, yeah, we're good. And then, dude.
Then you just got high and took pills and did like we do. And then you forget about stuff. I mean, Ambien will really wipe out your hard drive, buddy. I'll tell you that right now.
How is Lover Man? What are you doing? How are you?
We're doing
I haven't talked to you in years.
I know. Now, where are you? Are you back in Jersey still? Where are you at?
No, you know I moved to Florida.
He lives in Naples.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I live in Naples, Florida right now.
Well, and that makes sense in the fact that especially what you stand for, which is the same thing that I stand for, is that New York was the worst place to be with regards to COVID, and Florida is kind of the cool place to be.
It is the greatest. I've been to Texas. I've been to a lot of states, and what I get to see is the heavy propaganda in every single state. And it's really, it's fascinating, man. I mean, in a couple of days, I left Florida. And, you know, here it's just, yeah, you know, you want to wear a mask, wear your mask. You want to be scared to death, be scared to death. You want to believe it, okay. Then you go to Texas, and they're like that, too.
But then you get in some liberal like Austin pockets, and they're like really uptight on the deal.
Yes, yes, you know they're wearing their correct. And then you go. Then I went to Syracuse, and people are on high alert, the stress. People are walking everywhere with masks on. And I walked into this place that I was playing. And I said, "You seem stressed tonight." He goes, "Oh man, I'm going to lose half my staff because the governor is making everyone wear masks come Monday." I went, "Don't you see how goofy that? So you're telling me she cares so much about the health of all her civilians in the state of New York. She cares so much and wants to take this so seriously that she wants you to enjoy your Friday, go get drunk, go get high, go have gatherings, go have barbecues, enjoy your Saturday, go get high, drunk, group, see concerts, enjoy your suck." But Monday, we're getting serious and we're going to put on masks.
Right.
That's how stupid New York is.
You know what?
I said it. They're dumb as hell up there. I said it, not you, Jim. I did.
Well, I think Jim said it too.
Jim fluffed it up a little bit better than I did, but I'm just saying, New Yorkers are uptight and stupid if you're going to sit here and deal with this nonsense. Like, it's just like, how much longer can they boogeyman this thing out? We're like, we've become they've mind screwed us to the point where we're supposed to be afraid of this boogeyman. Is it going to be forever, you think?
Of course it is. Of course it. This is the new Weather Channel. Do you remember when the Weather Channel came out? And they were tracking. There's a storm front 800 miles off the Bahama coast, and if it hits the Carolinas, this is every single, and the climate change, and this is one after the, and then they're doing the same thing with cold and flus. And cold and flu goes under the word COVID. It's mastermind. If you just say COVID now, the brainwashing has convinced you it means death, ventilator.
You could very well, and you could be very well just talking about the flu. You could just be talking about the flu like we used to 5-6 years ago. Hey, Jimmy, you get the flu? Yeah, I got the flu, whatever, whatever, I got through it.
Yeah.
But now you put the word COVID on there, and it's a boogeyman, and they can make money money on it, and they can shake you down, and they can track you, and they can take your rights away, and they don't ever give them back, ever.
No, it's over. This is the great world domination purge that the demonic monsters in control of it are going for it.
Mm-hmm. Someone's been listening to Alex Jones.
What's going to happen to us, Jim Brewer, like regular dudes that want to, go out and get high and live our lives? What happens to us? Do they get us eventually?
I don't know, to be dead honest with you. Maybe they've already decided certain areas we just can't do it. I don't know. Time will tell. The real time will tell is how do states like New York, how do states like New Jersey, Michigan,
California,
and California, how did they finally go, hey man, game's over. We're not playing this anymore. And you know what? We don't need government telling us what to do and how to live and all that. You guys are not for us. We were fine till you showed up. We were just fine till you show.
And then the media supersells it, and the media now the news. I mean, they could run Moderna commercials in between the news and be like, hey, get Moderna, it's the vaccination and blah, 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 and it's got this much effectiveness and this and this. Or they can just write CBS a big-ass check, and CBS makes the news about COVID on the propaganda side of deals. So you really think you're watching the news, but it's just a big propaganda deal for the vaccine.
Just big advertisement.
Politicians hide themselves away. They only started the war. Why should they go out to fight? They leave the road to the poor, and the media sells it. Thank you, Ozzy Osbourne, war pigs, the true historian.
It's kind of bad when Ozzy 20 years ago had it figured out.
Destroy him, make him look demonic quickly.
Have you ever met Ozzy before?
I did.
I only met Sharon one time on America's Got Talent when they came to Tampa. We were friends of we worked for Howard at the time, so we got backstage and stuff and was hanging out, and Ronnie introduced me to Sharon, and she was, I can't say enough good things about her. She was so nice and just so approachable and super cool. So that's my only experience
Here's my experience. This is a long time ago. So Metallica asked me to do the MTV Icon. Okay. So I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. No, the MTV's going to call you. I said, okay. So MTV calls and said, hey, we know that Metallica wants you to do this, and we got to fly you out. They then say, all the flights are booked coming to L.A. Would you be cool with flying a jet? I've never flown a jet in my life. I'm living upstairs. I'm paying $700 rent.
You're going to be on a private jet.
Yeah. You know, we have an elderly couple living downstairs that own the house. Like, your TV is too loud. Like, we're going on a jet.
Yeah, with a limo.
Right. So I get there, and the guy's like, yeah, we got to wait for the other passenger. I said, who is there someone, who else? He goes, yeah, it's Ozzy. Technically, this is his jet. I'm like, why? So now I'm freaking out. Like, oh, my God, look at my wife. Ozzy. And he shows up, the limo pulls up to the jet, and I'm staring out the window, and I'm trying to be cool. And he gets on, it's him and his daughter, Kelly, and they get on the jet. And I didn't want to, I want to say hello, but he's not, he sits in the very front, doesn't even want to acknowledge the back. Very cool. I sit by the toilet because I know eventually he's got to piss and walk by me, and that's what I'll make my move. Nice.
I thought maybe you'd start breaking into your Brian Johnson, you know, Hell's Bells deal or something.
So now he gets up, right, and we're halfway through the flight, and he's heading toward the toilet. And I stand up like a dummy, and I go, Mr. Osborne, I just want to say, like, I learned so much about war because my father is in World War II. Because like, the song's War Pigs. And as I'm talking, he's just looking at me going, I just have to piss. I really don't need to hear about your father. So, but when all I remember is going, thank you so much for everything, blah, blah, blah. And he just looked at me and he went, oh, I didn't understand a word he said. He went to piss. He finished pissing. But the coolest part for me at the time, this is like 2003-ish, 2002. Kelly Osborne comes in a back row of pajamas, sits with my wife and I. And she goes, do you watch the TV show? I said, I do. I'm not going to lie to you. I love the Osbournes. And she goes, did you see the episode when Jack, my mom, was yelling at Jack and very angry with him for a DVD he wanted to watch? I went, yes, I do remember that episode, and drives me nuts because I want to know what that movie was. She goes, it was yours. It was Half-Baked. It was you and Dave Chappelle. I went, what? She said, yes, she wanted that DVD out of the house. Absolutely not, but that's what Jack was watching on the episode.
But, wow. isn't that super cool? That might be one of the reasons why they gave you permission to maybe fly on there, because that was the Half-Baked guy.
Maybe. I don't know. So that was my experience with Ozzy. And then the other time I saw him was I did the Metallica 30-year anniversary, and they had everyone that was ever affiliated with Metallica come and do shows for a whole week. And Ozzy came, and they did three Black Sabbath songs. But it was like the president showing up. He just flew in. They walked him on the stage. He crushes it. And then they walk him off the stage, and he heads back to the airport on his jet, and he's out of there.
Out of all the impressions you do, by the way, Jim Brewer on the phone, he'll be in Tampa tonight, right? I think he's
Tampa tonight. I believe it's West Palm Beach.
Side Splitters tonight, and by the way, you know, Side Splitters is a cool room. It's a cool room.
I love it. I have a Patreon page, and I'm actually gonna stream it live tonight because it was so explosive the last time I was there when I was supposed to come in, and the last time I was there, it was so explosive. So the opportunity I have is, instead of running around touring, I'm tired, man. I love doing weeknights in Sarasota and weeknights in Tampa. So I know there's people like, hey, man, you know, your stuff sold out quick, thank God. But I am going to be coming back almost once a month. So just keep an eye out.
That's if they want to see you live, but they can always go to the Patreon deal. That's one of the reasons why you're doing these one-offs, is because it's great for the Patreon stuff.
It really is. They get to watch it live, and then I keep it up for a week or two. So if you're working at the time, it's all cool. But that Side Splitter, someone, and I've done the improv, you know.
Out of all the cities that you, like, what's your top five cities? Because some people... are, you know, some cities don't appreciate comedy, or maybe not aren't as smart to understand. You know, like some cities probably suck. Like, you're like, I'm not going to, you know, Waco, Texas, or, you right. know, or I mean, Grand Rapids kicks ass, or, you know, like Green Bay, man, the chicks are unbelievable. You just do Brett Favre jokes all night long. Like you know what? Give me the little hints on the cities. Like if I was to yell out, how about I yell out a city and then just run off the top of your head, you give me your first impression.
Okay.
Dallas.
I love it.
Atlanta.
Crushed
in Atlanta.
Crush.
L.A.
Ugh.
Seattle.
They give me a lot of love there. I do very well there.
Vegas.
I do really good there, too.
what about all the, like, one of the things I love, and when you were going to come in, but you stood me up, but I still love you, is I have a stage here, and I was going to beg you, I was going to kind of put you in an uncomfortable situation to see if you could maybe do, like, a Brian Johnson kind of strut, kind of, I had some royalty-free AC/DC songs racked up, ready to go, and I was going to have, I mean, you know, because you're AC/DC, I know you don't like to do it, but, God, I mean, that's some of the most popular stuff that you do.
Well, no, it's not that I don't like doing it. It's like you live in a house, and everyone loves that house, or you do this painting, and everyone loves it. But now you're, like, 15 years later, 20 years, you're so somewhere else, and they're like, hey, man, remember when we used to eat ring-dings? Let's eat ring-dings again. Like, I know, but you were so good at it.
All the little idiosyncrasies and how you get the body going, just like Brian Johnson.
Oh my God! Ooh, mama! I'm glad. See, now I'm glad I didn't come in because I would. AC/DC, Jim Brewer doing AC/DC anytime before 3 p.m. does not come out sounding good.
And you know, I've had Brian in here several times because he's from Sarasota and he's good friends with Jesse. Yes, me son. Let me tell you something, me son.
Yeah, me son.
But you wonder, like, where does this guttural sound come from? Like, because I got to think how exhausted he is after a concert. Because, I mean, it comes within.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. So, a couple of years ago, you know, Jim Brewer is, I'm going to make a rock record, okay? It's my dream that I have to let go. So I do a rock record, and Brian comes on to see. He's like, yeah, I'll come and do a song with you, my son. And it was written in a funny manner. Everything I write, I do visually. So he goes, you know, where are you recording? I said, Clearwater. It was this little place in Clearwater. So I said, I'll send a car. Now, we set up microphone, like five microphones in case one goes down. We got another one just in case for Brian. Mm-hmm. We have sushi. We have whatever he could, ginger, lemons. We got a lemon tree, whatever this guy, bee nest with honey, whatever he needs.
Hand-rolled cigarettes, the whole nine yards.
Yes, yes, the whole nine yards. He shows up. And he walks in the room. Now, you know, with your studio, you have the room that you're in.
Right.
And then you have the room where your producers and the people running all the buttons are.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
He comes in, and he's like, you know, he's talking. He's telling a great story about the band and this and that. And we go, so are you ready to go? He's like, yeah, let's go, my son.
I said, well, just like
whenever you want to go in the studio, do it. And he goes, oh, hell, my son, I don't go in the studio to record. I like holding a handheld mic and doing it right here in front of the boys. Yeah. Oh, what? Like, are you being serious? Like, yeah, my son, I do it right here in front of you. So I like it. So we're playing. We said, okay, let's get a microphone. So we bring a microphone into the boardroom, or whatever you call that room, and we're standing there, and he starts singing the song, right? Never care, get it! I'm not there yet, you know? I'm not there yet. Hold on, let me roll one. Let me roll one, and I'll be right back. He goes, I roll a cigarette. He smokes a cigarette.
comes back in. He's like, okay, Mr. Yo, I think I'm ready. Yo, I think I'm ready. And he starts singing the song. So he records, I'm watching him. He records his songs performing them. So he's not standing in a little glass container and standing still. He's sitting there moving in the room, like just walking around you going, yeah, when I was a little boy, yeah. It wasn't enough enthusiasm. Let's do it again. So hello, then kind of Saturday night. Oh, I like that take. I like that take. And I'm going, oh, my God. This is the – how many musicians do this? How many musicians stand with a held Mike just walking around singing like he's in concert? And he's like, you know what? You got to learn to sing it like you're going to – because eventually you're going to do it live, my son. So you're standing there in a little box like a little tin man. I can't do it like you can't. It's the greatest rock voice in history.
Oh, it is, but you do them so well. I don't even know. I don't even know if you know how well you do them, Jim. I don't even know if you
I know.
I mean, I've had a lot of times with Brian, and he sounds just like that, just like that.
Hands down, the sweetest, most kindest, most giving, and the funniest human being I've ever been.
You're right. I mean, like, this is Brian. One time I had an opportunity, my buddy knew him, Doug Kay, from like this bass record company, and he was really good friends with Brian. So I first got to meet him. He's like, meet me in Sarasota and we'll drive over to Brian's house. And I'm like, you know, this is like Brian Johnson. He's like, yeah, we'll just go out to his house. Yeah, him and his wife Brenda, they're expecting us.
Yeah,
have like a little lunch deal. We go in there. I'm just some stupid radio guy. Like, I'm nothing to, I mean, in the overall scheme of Brian Johnson things, I mean, you know, I'm like a roadie in life compared to him. I get there and he's like, you know, hey, my son, we got beers and we got sandwiches and we can go on the boat. And what, like the nicest guy. I'm with a guy who sold 200 million records in his life. I don't know how much money he's got. And he's just the nicest guy in the world ever.
Yes. And I heard stories where, you know, where regular people go over there, work on the house. And then the next thing you know, they're all hanging out for the day.
Yeah, and his little pub. He's got this little pub. You got to come drink in the pub, my son. it could be literally the guy that's blowing the leaves off the driveway. But like, you got to come in here and get some air, this, my son.
Don't worry about driving home, my son. I'd put you on the helicopter. We'll get you home. We'll call your wife right now, so you're going to be late, my son.
Jim Brewer, the only thing I'm mad at is I wish I could have you on for hours, and I don't have that much time with your dumb ass. God dang it.
Well, we'll do it whenever you – one day I'll come in early. I'm still down here in Sarasota. I'm going to – before I bop up to the show tonight. And you know, we'll spend a day and we'll really, if you want.
Yeah.
And we'll hang out. I'll just come up just specifically, you know, for the show and get a hotel room and just chill out.
Get some hookers and some blow, like Pat. What was that? What was that?
Good Lord.
What was that guy, the famous sportscaster that was like, we'll get some hookers, we'll get some blow, we'll get Betsy. Remember?
That's on sports.
Pat O'Brien.
Pat O'Brien.
Remember, he was leaving recorded messages.
Oh my God!
Hey, Betsy, if you want to screw me and my girlfriend, then just at the bar, just tell me, and we'll get some blow and some hookers.
Oh my God!
Do some coke.
Do rock stars still do blow and hookers, or is that still a thing?
Put it this way: I toured with Metallica, did 36 cities with them. I'm not trying to be funny when I tell you. They had a yoga room.
They're eating fruit.
I swear my life. A yoga room. They have their personal, like, health chef. There's an exercise room just for Lars with the running machine that they set up everywhere. There's meditation. I did not – even the tech. They're the ones you really go to, the techs,
yeah,
roadies,
the tech.
And all those guys. Even those guys are like, I'm sure it goes on somewhere, but that is where you'll find it more than anywhere. You're not going to find it with the band.
Can you imagine, though, like, can you imagine, like, in the 80s when there were when there were real whores and real coke, like how Bon Jovi and Matt and Motley Crue and Can you imagine how those guys, I mean, you know, this, the little comedy groupies that run up on Jim Brewer's scene. Can you imagine that Bret Michaels? I mean, he had better eyeliner than those bitches did.
I remember being on SNL, and I was traumatized before any book came out, traumatized by a story that Tommy Lee told me. It was him and Pamela Anderson on the time, and he was telling me, he's like, oh, dude, it was bad, dude. He's like, no, we were bad. We were like, put chicks on a chandelier, and we would go mudding. So mudding? What the hell is mudding? Well, these chicks would totally be into it. They'd come in and, you know, drink champagne, and then we'd shake up the bottles and put in their pooper and then put them on the chandelier and spin them and they'd be spraying, you know.
Oh my god,
we'd be laughing like, oh my god.
Can you imagine in today's Me Too, Gloria Aldred would have an absolute heyday with a girl that came in and said, hey, I just had to do a mudding event with Justin Timberlake. I mean,
oh my god, just the horror.
I mean, it makes the Louis C.K. thing seem so mild, doesn't it?
It really, really does.
I mean, not a big deal at all.
Yeah, that's nothing. These guys are mud. And the girls are volunteering.
I want a mud.
Me next.
What is the madness of wanting to be part of any type of vanity? It's nutso, man.
Hey, listen, buddy. Tonight at Sidesputter sold out. I think West Palm Beach, December 30 and 31, I think.
The Palm Beach Improv.
Is it still availability there? Is that sold out, too?
Yes.
In January 1, too, right?
I'm sure there's tickets for it. There's like 900 shows.
By the way, you can always go to Jim Brewer's Patreon. It's Patreon Jim Brewer Comedy Special. And you can watch. I think, Jim, you do a lot of this stuff live on Patreon.
Yes. So, like, for instance, tonight I will be live, unedited, as is, at in Tampa Side Splitters. Which, you know.
How about backstage with the blow and the hookers?
You'll be backstage with Jim's lemon and honey and my Indian flute music. If you knew my routine, dude, I listen to native flute music.
Oh, this is to the FSU game. Oh, yeah.
He's doing his ring stick.
He's burning sage. He used to burn doobies. Now he's burning sage.
That is where Jim Brewer's life is at right now. Flip flops and native flute music walking on a beach.
I don't know who's more pathetic, me or you, buddy.
I love it. I love the journey. I love every second. I own it.
Isn't it cool, though, to kind of do your own thing and have your own content, be able to do what you want and not have to, you know, suck corporate's D? I mean, it's kind of cool.
Yes. It's nothing, you know, people.
You got a name like yourself. I mean, you're going to do, you're going to be able to be self-sufficient with the content that you produce, the various distribution method. You're going to be okay. You really are.
I'm going to be okay. And you know what? I'm always going to be okay, no matter what. Life is, I've always met, when you come from nothing and not a lot of money and you work your way up the chain, I've been in every stage of life. I've been from low income as a child to just under blue collar to blue collar to middle class, upper middle class, and which is probably
private jet with Ozzy.
Correct. So I get little jewels here and there, but I tell you what, it's you know you're gonna be okay. You know you're gonna be okay.
You know you're, and you know you're not gonna be okay when Bubba the Love Sponge is the one telling you you're gonna be okay.
I would have never thought that if we were talking like 20 years ago down here in Tampa. Wow.
Hey, listen, buddy. Good luck. Kill it tonight. And more importantly, let's stay in touch. I'd like to bring you in. We'd just be able to spend a little bit more time because obviously we like each other because we're both cool as hell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you be safe. Safe journeys. Hello to all your followings. And again, it's great to hear your voice. And Anna, I'm sorry, sweetie.
Oh, no problem.
You were on it. And I thought I checked my email. Went, oh my god!
You're good. Thanks for making time for us today,
and
though.
She's a good chick. She hasn't had, you know, she's just a good person. She's good. She's got a kind soul.
Dude, I could tell just by our text and all that. I was like, oh, my God, I just blew it with someone who's really...
Hey, it's okay. She's used to, hey, she's used to rejection, Jim, so don't worry about it.
Thanks, Bubs.
Hey, Anna, you've been rejected by, like, a regular guy at the gym?
Yeah, let's talk about it, yeah.
No, hold on. You're on both ends of the spectrum of rejection. You've been rejected by, like, some regular scumbag guys at the gym, and then you've been rejected
right.
by Jim Brewer.
I got range, you know?
Yeah,
I got range.
I mean, Jim Brewer's on the higher end of rejection.
That's very true.
I mean, that's a lot going for you right there.
I'm winning.
You can tell your bitches, you know, I got rejected by Jim Brewer. Yeah,
that's go pretty good.
As Goat Boy. He told me as Goat Boy to piss off. He did. Jim,
funny, man.
We'll be in touch. Yeah, I can't wait to have you in, okay, buddy?
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Be good.
Bye, Jim. Right, thanks, buddy. Bye.